You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So we went to print the notes, but our printer had run out of ink. So I sent it to my iPad and left it to charge. And it isn't charging, so I brought it here, and it still isn't charching. So might benefit you, because I might be a bit shorter, because I won't remember everything, and I can't clearly see everything either. I think God's been really good already this morning, and he's brought promise upon promise to our mind, and he wants us to hang on to those. And if you have had a promise that God has spoken to you, then you can ignore me and just meditate on it with God, because that's really what it's about. So we are in a series on faith, and we are working through Hebrews 11, and faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of the things we cannot see. And in the Amplified, I think, which is the one I really love, now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical sense. Oh, that just blows my mind every time I read that. It comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. And all those promises and words we've already had this morning, we have the opportunity and the invitation to comprehend as fact, even though we can't experience them for our physical senses. That's what God's invitation to us is. We are going to, I think, look today at this part of Hebrews 11. So it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Although it's not the bit I'm going to really talk about. It's interesting to note that twice it's by faith people are blessing other people. And that one is twice. And so I don't think we can ignore that either. So it's something to mull over, but it's going to be something I feel God's going to call us into more, about having faith to bless one another and the people we come across. So we are going to look at Joseph, because, and Andrew said, oh, that's a good one to me. I said to him, but do you realise the bit of his life that is blessed? And it says by faith. It's not of all the stuff he does. There might be some more. I might not have animated it quite correctly. Clearly, of all the stuff he does, it's the take my bones with you. Right at the end, that is the by faith bit. So, just a quick recount of Joseph. So Joseph had 10 older brothers and one younger brother, and he was the favourite of his dad, Jacob. Can I just say, parents, if your children do not have favourites, doesn't help at all. Just not good. Because I think Joseph was a bit messed up by this favouritism. And so when God, who did have his hand on Joseph, no doubt, gave him these dreams of sheaves bowing down to his, and then all the stars and the moon and the sun bowing down to him, representing his older brothers. That it was not that well received in reality. So he perhaps at that stage, although God clearly had his hand on him, had stuff to learn before he could fulfill that part of him. And so I don't know if he was so self-confident or ignorance or arrogance. But sometime later after these dreams, his brothers were looking after sheep, and his dad said, go and look for them and see how they are. And I'm thinking, if I'd told them dreams and they'd got really angry with me, there's no way I'd be going. But I can't work out whether he was just so self-confident or didn't like to tell his dad no or what it was. But anyway, he went to see his brothers, and they wanted to kill him, and then decided no, they'd throw him in a pit. And it just so happened, as in it does in the Bible and in our lives, that some traders were walking past, going to Egypt, and so his brothers sold him to the traders, and he ended up in Egypt. And when he got there, he was sold as a slave. He looks a bit happy to be a slave in his picture, but that's cartoons for you. And a bit well-dressed, I think, as well. But gradually... I'll read that from the Bible, actually. Gradually, because even in the midst of this mess, God was working and was showing him favour. And when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From that day on, Joseph was put in charge of the master's household and property. The Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. So Joseph was a slave. He was not in the life he'd been born to. He was in a mess, but God was there showing him favour and blessing him. And eventually, though, Potiphar had a wife, and she decided she quite liked Joseph. And so every day she went to him and said, come with me. And he, by now, was honourable enough and wise enough to say, no, God matters more. And so he got thrown in prison. And eventually, there were two other prisoners in there who were from Pharaoh's household, and he interpreted their dreams. Oh, even while he was in prison. Actually, let's just check that bit. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favourite with the prison warder. Before long, the warder put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Even in prison, and I mean, that prison looks reasonably clean. I'm not sure that's the sort of prison that Joseph was in. Even in the midst of that, number one, God is with him, and Joseph is still being diligent in serving God and doing what he should. So even in the midst of it, God is still blessing him. And so after, we don't know, it was 13 years from when he had the dreams to when he ended up in front of Pharaoh. Some of that was in Potiphar's house, some of it was in prison. It doesn't tell us exactly. 13 years of God's training, God's preparation. And so he, two of Pharaoh's servants got thrown into prison, and they both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted them both. One was going to be sent back to the Pharaoh, and the baker was, it was his demise, I'm afraid. And these dreams and his interpretation came true 3 days later. And so Joseph said to the cupbearer, who went back to Pharaoh's palace, remember me and basically get me out of here. But he didn't. there was still more waiting, still more preparation to be done. And so 2 years later, Pharaoh had dreams, and Joseph, the cupbearer, remembered, and Joseph interpreted the two dreams. And so they send for Joseph, and it says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. You know, you can see the change in Joseph, can't you? You can see his transitioning from a rather arrogant teenager lacking in wisdom to someone who has learnt through prison and everything else that actually what matters is God and serving God and putting him first. And Joseph did interpret the dreams, and he did it correctly. And he told Pharaoh to find someone great to organise everything. And he said, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. I love this story, but you think about the transformation that had to take place in Joseph. Eventually, the famine that Joseph had predicted took hold of everywhere around them, and because of Joseph's wisdom, because that from God, Egypt had the grain. And so eventually his brothers came and he forgave them, and his father came and he was restored. The family was restored. And it was then at the end of that, Jacob died, and Joseph knew he was dying, and he said, come and take my bones with you when you go. And he knew that they were going because God had told Abraham that they would be in a foreign land for 400 years, and then they'd go. And his life had taught him that even though it was something far in the future, it was going to happen. It was fact of things he couldn't see. But it's funny, isn't it? You think God could have, Hebrews, they could have said by faith, Joseph came out of a pit and was sold and was honourable, or by faith Joseph stood well in prison, but they didn't. They chose that last thing. But his life led up to that by faith moment. And isn't it interesting that he was in a pit for a couple of days preparing him for being in prison. It was a stepping stone. He had false accusations and moans about his brother and them saying things to him, preparing him for being falsely accused later on in his life. His steps of faith were built in there by God so that he could build into the faith for the unseen and the things he was not going to see. And so it is an amazing story, and it's amazing that it's what, is concentrated on. And I'm going to quickly check. Done all that bit. Joseph to me is a bit of a... The beginning of the Joseph story reminds me of being at work a little bit. But I've not really noticed before. It says they were tending sheep and Joseph went back and told his dad and gave bad reports about his brothers. I'm thinking, why did you do that? It's like she said this and he said that, and it's, you can just see it, can't you? You think so unnecessary. He fed into the antagonism and, the hate, and the first dream they hated him, and then they hated him even more, and then they became jealous of him. And that was who he was at the beginning of the story. And that's what we are sometimes a bit, I think. And God has to builds in stages of trial or allows those things to happen so that our faith can be built. His faith was built a little bit in the pit, but it was built a lot in prison. But that bit of the pit had prepared him for the prison. God was, you know, God does it bit by bit. And so it's amazing that actually in the end, he could be recognised as somebody who was wise and who would do what God... it was a time of transition and a time of transformation. I don't know, I haven't been in prison, but stuff's happened to me. Some of it little, some of it big, some of it quick, some of it's long. It's a time of transition and it's a time of change. Joseph could have said in the pit, right, that's it, I forget it. But he chose not to. Joseph could have said in prison, right, God, this is too much. It's too much. I'm giving up. But he didn't. So I think we can see that God will build faith in us, but we actually have the choice as to whether we are going to say, yes, I'm going to learn through this. This is absolutely rubbish, but I'm going to take it on. Or I'm going to, no, I'm going to stop here. I can't do this. You know, we are incredibly blessed as well, aren't we, to have the Holy Spirit. That we don't actually have to survive perhaps like that without it. It's a partnership of faith with God and with the Holy Spirit. But we have to say, yes, I'm going to carry on with this. There are things that we can believe for, aren't they? That, I don't know, you can have faith for really easily. When we were moving here, I just knew it was the right thing. We were moving because of Andrew's job. But I knew without a shadow of doubt, it was not about Andrew's job. It was about our road. And there's sometimes you just think, God, you just graciously imparts it to us. And sometimes you have to really work at it, don't you, faith? It's a real effort thing. And I'm pretty convinced that Joseph had times where he had to make that effort of saying, no, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to believe in those promises. And he had so much less to hang on to than we did. But we have so much to hang on to. Sorry. You know, we're pretty good, I think, here. We could get better at sharing testimony of God at work and doing things in us on a Sunday morning and in groups. But I think we could get better. But Joseph was relying on the testimony of his forefathers, of Abraham. And so he knew God had spoken to Abraham. And the testimony of that fed into the choices he made. And we need to, recognise when testimony is brought here, it is not just so we can think, oh, that's nice. It's not like that. We have got to allow that testimony to plant seeds of faith in our heart. We are put in a family here for a reason. And so we need to allow what God says through each other, not just through someone speaking on a Sunday, to build faith. You know, the word Andrew read at the beginning, the word Lynette brought, they're about God speaking into our hearts, and we need to not just think that's fine for them. We need to say, okay, God, what can I take from this? What's this going to plant this as a seed so the next time I can do that, I can go forward. I think, you know, it all built up to the, by faith, Joseph knew his bones would go from Egypt, as they did, and he would be seen. He had that faith and be seen to have someone of faith. And I think faith is a journey, isn't it? It's a real journey. And you think sometimes you've got it sussed a bit. And then something happens, you realise you haven't. But that's okay. It's like every journey, isn't it? God wants us to take us from one step to another step to another step. I think the change in Joseph, though, was that he had allowed God to transform his thinking and his thoughts and his heart, that he, by the end of this, he realised it wasn't really about him at all. It was about God. And he'd realised that for God to use him, that's what his heart had to be. He'd realised that actually, if he was in the right place, God could bless the nations through providing food for them all. He was the fulfilment, or some of the fulfilment, of being blessing the nations. But if he hadn't have said yes, or if he hadn't have opened up his thinking to change into the way God thought, we don't know. But he did, and we just need to learn the good of what he did, of being allowed his thinking to be transformed, to his thinking for it all to be about God. He had been transformed so he knew that God's plans went far beyond him as individual and his role in it. He had been transformed into seeing it, not being about his status and position, but about the promise of God for the future. He had shifted from it being about his brothers and people bowing down to him, to the future and entering God's promised land. And, you know, I think sometimes when we hear testimony, when we read things, the enemy will say to us, that's all right for them. That's them, that's not you. But it is you. It is you. God's promises are for us, and we just need God. God just really wants us to step into more of his promise, to more of co-labouring, co-working with the Holy Spirit to see our faith built. He wants us to say, yes, this is a really rubbish place I'm in, but I'm going to labour with you. I'm going to see as fact the stuff that the physical circumstances are saying no. And so God is calling us to take hold of stuff that we've put down. I can't remember what the next slide is, if I'm honest. That good. Through these, he has given us these very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We have talked a lot about our Father who art in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've talked lots about that. We've talked about being sat in heavenly places with him and all that that gives us access to. But God is... And they are before us. Those promises are before us. That invitation is before us. It's there. But unfortunately, God's not going to make you do it. He's giving you the choice of if by faith you're going to step over the line or not even step, but yeah. I don't know, just take that minute bit or not. And so we need to choose really what our response is going to be. Joseph's life had taught him that despite everything, God was faithful, that he would fulfill all that he said he would do. Joseph had seen the hand of God work through impossible circumstances to achieve all that he had set out to achieve. Joseph's life had taught him that God was reliable and he could build his life on it. You know, I was wondering whether when he had those dreams of people bowing down to him, he just thought that actually he might be in charge of the family for some, you know, that he, rather than Reuben, was going to be the big one, that somehow, you know, in his little area, of his little land, he was going to be in charge. And that was it. Did he really picture the enormity of what he did? The by faith. But because of the choices he made, the way he allowed God to transform him, he fed, or was responsible for feeding, thousands and thousands of people. And so, you know, you might have pictures of things or promises that God's given you, and you might be having to wait. You might be having to transition. You might be having to change. But actually, they might be so much bigger than you think. The impact of them could be huge. Don't underestimate what God can do by faith, if you have those by faith moments. So Joseph's life had taught him that God's word was reliable and he could build his life on it. Therefore, he reasons that as it had been for him, God would continue to be so. So Joseph could have sure and certain faith. He could see the future as fact. He knew they would leave Egypt because God had said it would be so. There's a verse that is our favourite. We had this up in our house for years. It's from Numbers. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? God has brought to mind so many promises today through the songs we've sung, through the words that have come. They're true. If God says you're free, you are. Now, God will take you on a journey for that to become the reality. But, you know, you've got to say, God, I'm supposed to be free and I'm not. So I want to go with you and I want to walk into what's supposed to be there. And actually, from my experience, that will actually require you to change your thinking and let go of things and let go of things you've been hanging on to. But he will not change his mind. He has not changed his mind about you. If he says, I've come to heal you, he's come to heal. If he said to you, you are free, you are free. If he says to you, I've called you by name, you're sat with me in heavenly places, you are sat in here with him in heavenly places. By faith. It's a choice. I can talk about it forever, but it wouldn't make any difference in actual fact, because it's a by faith. It's your choice. And it does not have to be for, it will not necessarily be like that. It won't be in a moment. Those pictures covered, you know, tens of years, decades. But it's a journey we need to say yes to God. I'm going to give my heart and my mind. I'm going to allow you to change my thinking so it becomes all about you. I'm going to allow you to work in my heart so I put down the things that are stopping me from being free, or from stopping me from being courageous, or from stopping me stepping into praying for people for healing, or whatever it is. We just need to say yes. That's all I'm saying in the end, is we need to say yes to God and just receive his confirmation of the facts in his word. You know, we can choose to say that's a really nice promise in God's word, or we can see that as fact and step into it by faith. And that's the opportunity and the exciting opportunity God is laying before us today. Lynette, could you just play? Thank you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here again. Thank you that you have moved. I just pray that you would remind us of your truth, that promise that's for us that we need to take hold of. Lord, we just open ourselves up to you. We just ask you to come. We just ask you to come. I have come as you asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended and the season of hiding is over. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I heard the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of the flowers whispers, there is change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise. And come away with me.
I don't want to repeat what you preached, but the thing that struck me was this man was dying, and then he stood on there
he stood on the promise that they will go back to the promised land. Mm. And he knew he is not going to go. He's going to die. But he said, when you go, please take my bones. 400 maybe years later, while the children of Israel, they are plundering the riches of the Egyptians, Moses remembered something. And they remembered because of the faith of somebody. Mm. 400 years ago, you know, people were tracking the gold and everything. Moses thought, oh, there are bones we need to take. And they took that. And I thought, that's profound. Because when we talk of faith, we talk of things that are going to happen in our lifetime. Mm. It was not happening in his lifetime. It's going to happen later on. So sometimes maybe we go through things and thinking, this is not going to change in my lifetime. This situation or this, whatever it is not going to change. But I think what we can learn from Joseph is the faith is not limited by our even action. Mm. Because he believed and he died. And because when I thought, this is profound. I've never thought this way. You know, sometimes you read these verses, you think, ah, well, I remember it. But I thought, yeah, but this is different. When he was dying, he was in the top of the Egyptian government. So he had died with all the pomps and everything was okay. Mm. But he thought, God's promise is different to this. This is not their final destination. The final destination is the promised land. And then things changed drastically. And they get to times of Moses where they were enslaved. There was no hope. They can't go anywhere. And then when God released them, you know, the faith of somebody who died 4 years ago propelled Moses to think, okay, you can take the gold and everything else, but I remember there are bones that we need to take to the promised land. So I think to me personally is, I need to think differently when it comes to faith. Mm. You know, I was listening yesterday. One of the big worship leader in the world, and she's got a podcast, and she speaks to different other worship leaders. I don't want to mention her name, but she's most influential. Yeah, and then she said, "This is what she said." She's not married, you know. So she's in her 50s now. She adopted a son. She's not married. She said, "In my life, I don't remember if somebody said a word that has come true to me." And I thought, that's profound. You know, she lived all these years and people have had prophecy about her life. But she looks back thinking, nothing has come true. But what she was saying was, it doesn't matter whether it came through or not. My focus is, she was talking about the fear of God, if you saw. Yeah, yes. So she was talking about the fear of God. It doesn't matter what is happening. But I think just to be persistent, constant to just holding on to God. And that's kind of this reminded me of Joseph, that his faith had affected years and years to come. So I think sometimes, I mean, it's a challenge to me as well, in the sense that maybe I'm praying for something and it doesn't happen and the year go by, I'm thinking, it's not going to happen. But if we hold on to faith, that thing will happen even outside our lifetime. Anyway, that's what I want to say.
Yeah, it's funny. I was reminded that I was thinking for our children. I might never see them here. But I will. I get to heaven, I will see them. It's a fact. I choose to say it's a fact. It's a fact for us. It's a fact for others. So there are other things in your life which you need to see as fact. And you need to see it with the eyes that mean you might not see it here. And that's what God is calling us to. Thank you, Lena. That's right.
Let's just remain in attitude of prayer. It's great to hear the word of God, but how do we take it into the week? And Lord, I just want to thank you for Karis. I thank you, Lord, that she shared heart to heart today, and that's difficult. And I thank you, Lord, that you spoke through her, even if it didn't go as planned, but it was Karis, and you speaking through her. So we thank you so much for that. And Lord, I just pray that you'd focus our hearts and our minds on the promises that you made to us in the past. The ones that we have lost, those pictures that you gave to us, those words that have been spoken over us that we have lost. Lord, fill us with hope, knowing that you always keep your word, you're always true to your word, and your plans do not change, Lord. And so, Lord, as we go into this week, I pray for each one of us, everyone here, every individual, that you would speak into those words, that you would speak into those pictures, that you would just remind us of your promises to each one of us. You have a beautiful plan for us. And it's not over yet. You've not forgotten us. You know us. You want us, Lord Jesus, to walk in your will and to have the pleasure of seeing your will unfold in our lives and in those around us. So, Lord Jesus, don't let us remain the same. Let us walk from here, change people into this week, taking your word and your love and your promises with us. In the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.